Joe Davidson is an African-American covering South Africa for the Wall Street Journal. Davidson has been there since January, and he hopes to remain for a few years. We called Joe Davidson in Johannesburg earlier today. Since he arrived in Johannesburg just as the apartheid laws are being dismantled, I asked him what restrictions he still faces as a black in South Africa.
Well, just a couple of days ago, I went to an apartment not far from the hotel where I'm still staying, but we'll move from shortly. But I went to this apartment because it's in this neighborhood called Bromfontein. There's a lot of things here, and it's a very convenient neighborhood, so I thought I'd check this apartment out. And the caretaker, a black man, came to the door, really the gate, and said, this apartment building is for whites only. You know, we don't rent to blacks. You know, there was no hiding around some sort of facade or charade by saying we're full when they really aren't full. They simply come right out and say, well, we don't rent to blacks. Now, one thing I think that's worth pointing out about the new South Africa is that discrimination is not illegal, and the government is not proposing to make discrimination illegal. The situation before was that non-discrimination was illegal. In other words, it was the law to exercise white racism. It was the law that you had to discriminate in some situations. They are removing those laws, certainly proposing to remove those laws, but they aren't doing anything affirmative in terms of non-discriminatory statutes in their place. So it's perfectly legal for me to be told that I can't get an apartment because I'm black.
Are you treated differently from whites or white officials when they hear your American accent?
You mean, am I treated differently than other blacks?
Differently than other blacks, yeah. I'm wondering if there's this sense of that, you know, American blacks are different.
Well, I think what they try to do is to impress upon Americans in general, this being white officials, that South Africa really isn't so bad, that Americans really don't understand South Africa, and that America, too, has big problems. They really don't, let an example of something, of some shortcoming in the U.S. as it relates to race relations. And clearly there are many, but they certainly don't let those examples pass by unnoticed. You know, you're kind of lumped in this class of Americans, and they seem to think that Americans feel a sense of superiority over South Africans or the South African government, at least as it relates to race relations. And I guess in some sense, I tend to let them know that I clearly understand the degree of racism in America, so they don't have to try to impress that upon me. But I think they do that just so that they can say, well, we aren't so bad.
Have you been reporting on the Winnie Mandela trial?
Yes, I've written about it. I don't write about it every day, but I've been to the trial, and I certainly keep up with what's going on. I talk to lawyers on both sides, the defense attorney prosecutors, to get an idea of what's going on. And that certainly has captured the headlines here.
Has covering the Winnie Mandela trial been problematic for you because of the Mandela's place in you know, the black freedom movement in South Africa?
No, it really hasn't been problematic for me. It was, I guess, though, in some ways it's a story I wish I didn't have to do, and by that I mean I wish it didn't happen. I think that and what I wrote was that I think that in this Winnie Mandela situation, the ANC has veered off of the high road, in a sense. I mean, I frankly don't think that they've taken a principled position, and that's disappointing to me. But that's the way it is, at least in my view. I think that the Winnie Mandela trial is a very emotion-laden case. But when the witnesses were refusing to testify and this other witness disappeared, I thought that the ANC, and specifically Nelson Mandela, should have made a very strong statement saying that the ANC will simply not tolerate intimidation of witnesses in their name, or made a strong statement, in a sense, urging those witnesses to testify. The point is, the ANC may have very clean hands in all of this, but they didn't take the high road to make sure that their hands were seen to be clean.
Has there been any pressure on you by people in the anti-apartheid movement to not say anything that would reflect badly on the movement?
No, but I think local black reporters get that. There's a case of one black reporter who works for a paper called the City Press who wrote a story about the people's courts, which when they, I guess, were in their heyday, they, some of them at least, amounted to kangaroo courts, and people could be convicted of something, let's say theft, on very little evidence, and then subjected to a whipping, lashes across the back, maybe 50 lashes or something. And I don't know this particular reporter, but I do know about his case. He was a black reporter for a black-oriented newspaper, wrote about some of these people's courts, and he, in turn, was taken before a people's court and was punished for his writing. And I've had black reporters tell me that there are things that they can't write about because, I guess, still the hypersensitive, well, I guess I don't necessarily want to call the black community hypersensitive because I think the black community has plenty of reason to be sensitive, but there are times when the black community can does not take criticism well, to put it mildly, and if you point out you know, something, and you're a black reporter, then yes, black reporters do feel I guess in a sense intimidated. I guess that's the word.
When you're in white areas now in South Africa, do you feel like you have to look over your shoulder or anything? Are you ever worried about your safety, especially now that there seems to be something of a backlash?
Well, not right here in Johannesburg. In Johannesburg, in some ways, you feel like you're in, you know, any big city in the USA, which is as much an indictment on the USA, I think, as it is, or maybe a compliment to Joburg. By that, I mean, if you go into a restaurant, a nice restaurant, you may be the only black person or black couple there. And, you know, there's similar things like that in the U.S. And you may or may not get some stares, and you may or may not in the U.S. get some stares. Generally, the people who wait on you, though, are very friendly. And the Afrikaners can treat you very, very well, kind of on a one-to-one level. If you're talking about exchange of power, it might be something else. But clearly, they can be very courteous to you. But clearly, though, this is right here in the central cities, the big cities. You don't have big problems. Once you get out, though, you can have some serious problems. And I think the further you get from big cities like Johannesburg, probably the more danger you may be in.
Well, Joe, I want to thank you a lot for spending some time with us on the phone.
No, it's my pleasure.
Joe Davidson reports from South Africa for the Wall Street Journal. He spoke to us from Johannesburg. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.